The Movie Files, a podcast featuring behind-the-scenes tales of motion picture history. Sponsored by Aplomb Publishing. Visit us on the web at www.aplombpublishing.com.
Welcome back to the Movie Files. I'm John William Law, your host. We're going to talk a little bit about Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn here. And I originally was thinking of doing this specifically on the movie Adam's Rib. So if that's the title of this the episode, you'll kind of get an idea of that film. And that's probably, Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn made a number of movies together. Starting with Woman of the Year in 1942, Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn would do a bunch of films with, starting with MGM, they would become a kind of iconic screen duo. I think if you think of teamings of actors and actresses on film, they kind of come to the top of anyone's list. And after making Woman of the Year and their chemistry being so strong, and the two would end up in a relationship, a long-term relationship, a partnership, and never would end in marriage, Spencer Tracy was married to a woman for many years and had a child and would have a long-term love affair and relationship with Katharine Hepburn. But they would follow up the Woman of the Year with Keeper of the Flame, which was also in 1942. And then they would do another film called Sea of Grass, which was in 1947, State of the Union, which was in 1948, and then Adam's Rib in 1949. Then there would be a bit of a break. They wouldn't make another film. They'd make Pat and Mike in 1952, and then they would then make another film called Desk Set, which was in 1957-ish, I think it was. I've talked about Desk Set on here on the podcast before. It's actually a fantastic film, one of my favorite teamings of them. And then their final teaming would be in 1967 in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which I probably have talked about on here as well. I think that Adam's Rib, though, in many ways, is really becomes a quintessential film for them. If you really watch all of their films together, and some of them, I mean, they're all good, and obviously Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn were phenomenal actors, and they were actors who were not kind of cast simply for their looks, and Spencer Tracy had this kind of iconic look. He certainly had a look that was unusual, that, you know, was not necessarily a leading man look. That was sort of part of his charm, and his delivery was something to kind of just behold. And so Katharine Hepburn, I think, in the same way, I don't think she comes off as this iconic, beautiful. I think she was a beautiful woman, but I don't think she didn't come off as this kind of iconic, you know, femme fatale type of actress. And so she was very much at the forefront of kind of a modern day woman in the kind of 1930s when she kind of came into being in Hollywood. Would really kind of come to fame really in a lot of the films she would make with Spencer Tracy, but did a number of her own successes would definitely come into her own in the years later in doing a lot of fantastic work. But a lot of their films, though, things like State of the Union, even Pat and Mike, I like some of the films, but I don't find them as something that I gravitate to. I don't find them as engaging. There's only a few that I really, really like. And Adam's Rib is the one that I kind of think is quintessential for them, because it really does create these personas that really we might very much identify with those actors. They play a pair of lawyers who are married, and they both end up in a fighting a case on both opposite ends of it. So, and it's a case in which Judy Holliday has shot her husband, Tom Ewell, and she catches him kind of in the arms of another woman, And so she is put on trial for trying to kind of murder her husband. And Katharine Hepburn takes the case to kind of defend her, and Spencer Tracy is on the case to convict her. And that is, therein lies the story, but the interesting dynamic, obviously, is, you know, is their perspectives. They're both kind of modern-day lawyers. They're both very much equals in the film. And what's interesting is, you know, in this time when women were kind of supposed to be, you know, housewives and taking care of their husbands and seeing to that while he worked, she was very much an equal for him in terms of a breadwinner and, you know, an equal partner in the home. And she definitely comes off that way. And he comes off as a very modern day, you know, husband in that he's very, you know, happy for that. And at the same time, though, there is a tug of war in terms of when they get very much wrapped up in the case and the justification for what happens and why they're fighting the way that they're fighting. And there's a lot of kind of back and forth, and there's a lot of really great witty banter in the film. Witty banter from all of the actors, in fact, which is what makes the film so enjoyable. David Wayne also plays a fantastic character in the film. David Wayne would do lots of films as a very in a supporting actor role. I mean, he was probably, I don't know, TV audiences in the 70s would remember him as the father of Ellery Queen. But he did many, many, many films, and he plays kind of a neighbor who's kind of in love with Katharine Hepburn's character. And so he's sort of, kind of, I wouldn't say putting the moves on her, but, you know, he's kind of consoling her and finding, you know, a way to kind of, you know, he's very antagonistic against Spencer Tracy. And there's a lot of kind of great banter between all of them. So it's a lot of fun to watch. And it's a very modern day film in a lot of ways. Even today, I think it still resonates in a lot of ways when you talk about, you know, men and women in the workforce and who's in charge and who's calling the shots and who's seeing equal opportunity and you know, where the justifications are between how people are judged differently in that, you know, if a man catches a woman having, you know, an extramarital affair, that we respond differently than if it's a woman who catches her husband doing it. And so there's a lot of those types of things that are brought forth. And in today's world, we wouldn't think twice about them. But at that point, they were very much in the forefront of, they were cutting edge, they were bringing new topics to light. Things that we take for granted today were really being explored in this film. And so I think that in itself makes it a fantastic film. It was a big, successful film, but interestingly enough, I don't know that it was really an Academy Award noteworthy film. I think people passed it off as kind of this cute little comedy, black and white comedy, but it is actually much more than that. And again, I like other films. So to me, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner is a fantastic film to watch, partly because it is the last time that they team together. And Spencer Tracy dies literally like 3 weeks after the film ended. He passes away. And so it's an iconic piece of film for that. And it also tells a really interesting story. One of the reasons why I was thinking about this topic and doing something on Spencer Tracy is because I've been doing some research on an idea of a book, which has nothing to do with anything we're talking about here, but it does have to do with Spencer Tracy, and it has to do with Stanley Kramer, who was the producer and director of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And, you know, that was a really great message movie at the time that, again, I think that it still resonates today in some topic areas, but at the same time, it's a very, you have to really kind of put it into a box of going, okay, this was the late 1960s and there was a lot of civil unrest in these things. People of different races couldn't get married easily in most states in the United States at the time. And so it's something that's very, very different today, but at the same time, there's a lot of things going on today as well that continue to kind of resonate. These topics are still relevant. The other film, again, that I mentioned, the kind of top three in my favorites of, again, Death Set, is something that I watch every Christmas. I did a Christmas podcast on this I don't know how many years ago it was now, but that you can look up. Death Set is another great film. It's again, a fantastic film that fits great in a place and time because it was about the computer age and it was just at the beginning of it. And it's really a fascinating film to watch today when we think that the amount of computer space that's on our telephone, on our portable iPhone is more power than in the computer that is exhibited in that movie, which is this huge computer that takes up the size of a room. And so it's really fascinating to watch that this was like this modern day topic that was so modern today that we look at in such a different way today because technology has evolved so much. But that story really was talking about things that are very, very relevant today in modern day history, but in a very different way. And again, all of their films was often a, you know, they were on equal footing as actors, and they were both kind of trying to carve out a, you know, a place for men and for women and how they are equals in this kind of fight or this journey that we're on. And I think that's what makes their teaming so relevant in the films that they made, was because that was the kind of at the forefront of every movie they made. And I think never more so than in Adam's Rib. So anyway, Adam's Rib is available on DVD. You can download it in most places too as well. So it's definitely something that if you get a chance to see it, I highly recommend it. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.